Backstage Dramas present The Vengeance of the Hills. This week's front page drama, The Vengeance of the Hills, is a radio dramatization of one in a series of true historical incidents to be found in The Romance of Geraldine, Half American Cinderella Queen, which is now appearing serially in the American Weekly, a magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The Romance of Geraldine, Half American Cinderella Queen, is a thrilling inside story of picturesque King Zog of Albania, his long search for love, romance, and marriage, which finally ended when he found the beautiful but impoverished Countess Geraldine Aponyi, whose mother was an American heiress. This thrilling behind-the-scenes, often fantastic story of the royal romance was written by Baroness Suzanne de Strasser, fashionable Budapest modiste, for whom Queen Geraldine once worked as a mannequin. Long before he was crowned King Zog of Albania, he was known as Chief Zogu Ahmet Bey, a young, courageous man who rallied his fierce mountain tribesmen to fight for freedom from Turkish oppression. When this campaign was over, he tried to unite the hard-fighting tribes and put down their endless family feuds and fights and bring a lasting peace to his people. While journeying through the Albanian hills, he had become attracted to the beautiful young daughter of a mountain chieftain. He had seen her many times bathing with her serving maid in a mountain pool. Then one day he decided to visit her house alone.
I regret my speeches, sir. My father is not at home to welcome me. He has taken food for a day's journey, and will not return before nightfall. But pray do not be caught, sir. I will do the honor my father said. I bid you welcome, sir. He asked to taste your guest before the fire.
It is with sincere thanks I accept your great hospitality. The day has been cold and the journey long. I'm weary and in need of food and rest.
Enter then the house of my ancestors, the Vigudis. Even now, our housekeeper prepares the food to appease your hunger.
And what is your name, the daughter of the house of Vigudis?
My father's only child, alas. I am called Maria. Say, let me put your greatcoat, bandoliers, and burdens of travel, that you may rest before the fire while I prepare your food for the feast.
Your father is indeed most blessed with such a fair and charming daughter, Maria.
Excuse my asking, sir. And I will join our housekeeper and the serving maid to help my food.
The sight of you is in itself both food and drink to me, sir, Maria. Do not stay away too long.
I'll return soon. Most certainly. Do you remember ever seeing him before?
No. Not that I remember, and my years are many in these hills. But I do not hold in your custom of becoming so familiar. It is not the honored custom. You must remain in the shadows until after the meal is served, and the stranger is eaten.
Oh, we who are young still be governed by such age-old custom.
Be quiet. You have too much freedom, and it is not good. More of that foreign nonsense you were taught at the mission school.
And I cannot sit with you?
No. During the meal, I will serve the food. You must be alone. But you may serve the coffee. Only then may you remain. But remember the manners of your people. You must ask no questions of the guests.
Very well, please. I remember.
Have you placed the coffee and placed everything ready?
Yes. I will do that at once.
Go then. We are ready to serve the guests.
Truly, Maria, I took a feast worthy of the king, and I trust I was worthy of it.
Verily, you were, and may you always be.
It is not often I enjoy such rare hospitality. My life has been that of a soldier. I was educated in the military academy in Turkey, but I returned to my home to use to good advantage the lessons they have taught me. I helped fight and master the Turks with their own tactics and weapons.
The price we paid for freedom has been high. But the victory we're still without peace.
Yes, yes, said Maria. When he stopped fighting the Turk, each tribe and chieftain with his own petty ambitions began to fight his neighbor. And bloodshed still continued.
My father sent me to the big mission school in Elbasan. There I was taught a great many things that took me to understand the futility of war and bloodshed. And how precious are the blessings of peace.
It is well that our women should have more intellectual freedom. I knew you were more advanced than most of the women I have met. Then the Turkish harem in its ways was never favored by our Albanian hill people.
It is indeed a great honor to speak to one who holds such literature. You, sir, are wise and most just man.
Maria.
Pardon, sir, I must go now. My father's returned and I'm welcome.
Maria welcomed her father, brought him to the stranger before the fire, and old Chief Zigiri sat down and drank coffee with him. He did not ask his name, for that in the hill country would have been gross discourtesy. But they shared a good night's gossip, and finally the old chief spread out the stranger's bed, soft and clean, upon the great stone floor. For the next 3 days and nights, a great storm raged, confining the stranger to the house of his host. Zog the stranger and Maria became fast friends and held a deep admiration for each other. As for the old chief, he was charmed with the young man. On the morning of the fourth day, the weather cleared and
the wind has died and the rain clouds have vanished, so I must go now, Chief Zigiri. But one day I will return. I will bring my mother and my half-brother with me. I'll send them on ahead to speak to you about your daughter. She is beautiful as a pomegranate, lovely as a midnight heaven. My family shall ask of you for me, your daughter in marriage.
Gladly will I speak with your messenger. Gladly will I arrange with him about giving you my daughter. For we are Albanian patriots, you and I. And now, stranger, since you are to become my son, pray tell me your name before you go.
It is Zogu Amadeus.
Zogu Amadeus. Behold, I drink this farewell cup which we have shared as a symbol that all is over between us. Zogu Amadeus. Blood for of mine and my father and of my father's father, and all along you knew this, and yet
these blood feuds are mad customs of our mountains. Oh, with these feuds has Albania bet herself whiter than ever the Turk could bleed her.
The blood feuds of our fathers are ours by sacred heritage. Go. For one day's travel or 20 miles distance shall my vengeance spare you. But then I will track you down and kill you like a hunted animal. Go.
You must proceed with great caution, good friend, for the old chief has the cunning of a fox. And if you were to discover your mission, it means peace and death.
Never fear, Zogu. You will not see me or even hear of my coming.
Wait in hiding near the mountain pool until the girl and her servant maids approach. When they reach the pathway near the pass, you call to her. Tell her I will meet her there at the same hour tomorrow, if you meet her today.
Very well, good friend. It shall be done. While I am gone, stay close to the cave. Remember, these hills are alive with our enemies now. And if anything happens to you, our whole fight for a strong united nation will be lost.
Do not worry, Admiral. I shall remain in hiding until your return. Then, after I have seen my beloved tomorrow, we will make plans to rally our forces for one great battle and victory.
Goodbye, good friend.
Good speed.
Thanks, John.
Ever since your messenger came yesterday, remember every hill and valley holds danger. Perhaps death for you, beloved.
I will risk everything, even death, to be at your side, my beloved. There's danger everywhere these days, but soon all danger will be passed. And you and I can be married with rites and ceremony of our race. Our unity shall be a symbol for unity for all our people. Our love shall shine as a guiding light to all the nations, where one great love shall triumph over all the hatred of an unhappy past.
I love you, dear man. And hunger for the sight of you every hour you're away. But you must not risk the journey.
Be not afraid, my beloved. Nothing can happen to sever this great love.
Oh, but my father, I am afraid. My father takes these truths so seriously. Oh, he sent me to have a modern education, yet he's not modern. All the old superstitions, hatred, jealousies, all seem real to him.
Very well, beloved. I will be careful. Just be patient, faithful, and do not worry. Soon I will find a way to our everlasting happiness.
If ever my father found out we see each other, he's dying as it is, I tremble sometimes. We talk about nothing strange old. There is much mysterious coming and going in our minds.
I will go now, beloved. In 2 days I will return at this same hour. Until then, goodbye, beloved.
Farewell, dear sir. Take care. And return to me again on the second day.
But before another sunrise, a messenger arrived at Zog's camp from his beloved Maria. It was a warning to flee for his life. Her father and his followers, learning of his hiding place, were going to surround it and kill Zog and his followers. Zog fled, but with his magnetic personality and iron will, he soon raised an army. And without scarcely firing a shot, captured the capital, Tirana, and took over the government. Immediately after the unrest was settled and he was able to leave, Zog sent messengers into the country of old Chief Zigidi.
Go, good friend, once more as a messenger of love for me. Seek out my beloved. Tell her I come with all speed. Say this from me. Meet me at our pool. I have returned to your victorious. I come to make peace with your father. Somehow I'll persuade him, and all will be well.
Go, good friend, and hurry. Never fear, noble leader. Never has a messenger in all history gone upon such a happy mission. I will speed through the passes with the speed of an eagle,
and I will follow at your very heels. So, good friend, we meet at the pass. Did you deliver my message?
I did, most noble chief. And she hurried away to meet you. See, below you there on the mossy bank by the mountain pool, she awaits your coming.
You're right, good friend. I see there upon that great blanket of white goatskin, surrounded by her serving maids. I wait here for my return. I'll hurry off to claim my own beloved.
What is the meaning of this? Kneel not and weep. Stand up that I may greet my beloved. This is the time for rejoicing. Your lady becomes my wife. What's this?
What is she like to see? At night there. Has there been murder? What message is this? And this by the hand of her father. Why, oh, why should he resort to such bloody vengeance? His words written and placed on her breast. You have come to claim her, Raghuram Dev. Well, here she is.
And Zogu Amit Bey, they tell, prostrated himself beside the pitiful young body, and he pressed his lips to her lips, not yet quite cold. Finally, he arose and went back to his conquest, for he had work to do for his country. He who in his middle 20s was its ablest general and statesman. Before he went down to Tirana, he ordered a toll of blood taken from the terrible old Zigidi. The inexorable patriarch was already on his way, with his hate and his misery, to exile in Serbia. You have just heard The Vengeance of the Hill, a radio dramatization of one in a series of true historical incidents to be found in The Romance of Geraldine, Half-American Cinderella Queen, which is now appearing serially in the American Weekly. See this and all the other splendid stories, articles, and feature fiction to be found in each issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Dramas present The World's Worst Mother-in-Law. This week's front page drama, The World's Worst Mother-in-Law, is a dramatization of a feature article of historical interest entitled Looking for the Bones of the World's Worst Mother-in-Law. This unusually interesting article appears in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. While Britain's war with Germany goes on, Miss Margaret Newbold, archaeologist, is excavating an English battlefield of almost 2,000 years ago. Under the dust of 20 centuries, she hopes to find the remains of Cartamandua, England's faithless queen, and the world's worst mother-in-law who betrayed her son-in-law, the heroic chieftain Caractacus, to the Romans. Remorse overcame the evil queen on her deathbed, and she asked to be buried on the site where her brave son-in-law fought his last battle. It is the story of Queen Cartamandua, her ambition and her treachery that will unfold in the front page drama. Queen Cartamandua was every inch a queen, a tall, stately blonde that made the short, swarthy Roman conquerors gape in awe. She was queen of the Brigantes, and instead of opposing, she made peace with the Romans under Astorius, the Roman governor of Britain.